Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth. Drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drum with your host, Mr. F the N Word. Want you to give me a holler. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. And if you're afraid to call me, I of course implore you, hit me up on the email tip, questions, comments, concerns, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Also, if you're feeling extra frisky, if you're ghost listening, like I know some of you do, feel free to jump up in the chat room and say what you want to say. I also encourage you to talk to me post, pre, however you feel it. On the show, go to my Facebook Smooth Drama page, ask to jump in. I add you in and we can talk, taste about whatever. Or if you can just Google Smooth Drama and add me, I'll add you back and we can get our social media on. Wherever you find Smooth Drama, I'm your friend. I got you. In the meantime, I'm a little depressed. First, I'll say to all the 420 people out there, yeah, happy 420. I know y'all smoking it up. Shout out to my cousin, Luke Warren. I know he down there. He probably puffed and didn't give. You know, he's probably one of them special puff puff. I ain't giving what you mean. Puff puff again. A shout out to all the 420 homies out there and homettes and the homegirls, moms from marijuana. I know this y'all day. You're probably all asleep with a bag of Doritos on your stomach. So, I give a shout out to y'all. I'm a little melancholy, salty, perturbed, irritated, all that. My Indiana Pacers had the nerve to score the most points that they've ever scored in the half, 74, only to come from ahead and lose in record fashion. And basically get their hearts taken from them in losing to Cleveland, going down 3-0. So it's pretty much over. I've not gone on social media because I already know I got a crazy auntie. Shout out to my crazy auntie, just in case you're listening. Yeah, I'm calling you crazy. My heart is shattered. They almost made me take a smoke. It was like I almost went out there. It was like somebody give me something to smoke because it's very depressing. But I'm not going to let the Pacers get me down. I'm not. Even though y'all getting me down. Y'all, 3 games in a row you should have won. It's supposed to be 3-0 Pacers. Instead, now I got to go to work. I just got to face ridicule. I'm going to face it with pride, though. I'm going to stick my chest out and try not to choke anybody out tomorrow. Anyway, damn Pacers. On to the show. Carmelo Anthony. Some of y'all know he's a basketball player, plays for the New York Knicks. Him and his wife, Lala, y'all might know her. She was well, not was, she is a television personality actress. They have split. It's kind of funny because there were rumors that he had impregnated a stripper. So source comes out and says, and Carmelo's reps, his representative, come out and say, hey, baby mama is not a stripper. You know, that is categorically wrong. You know, so y'all can all stop singing that Carmelo Anthony, I'm in love with stripper stuff. No, she's actually a social worker named Mia Burke. I guess that makes it different. Like, nah, y'all tripping. Y'all are tripping. I ain't getting no damn stripper pregnant. She a social worker. She got her master's degree in social work and everything. should you even address that? It's like, you know, if somebody, and then you can put the, I mean, the girl's name is out there. So I won't say girl, woman. The woman's name is out there. Yeah. So she's front page for a minute. And so Mello, baby's due in July and it's a girl. So he has a prenup though. So, I mean, but I'm guessing it'll get challenged here because depending on if there was a cheating clause in there. But yeah, I don't know. And maybe they may work it out. I mean, because, you know, these things happen where somebody can get pregnant. I mean, Gabrielle Union and Dwayne Wade, they still worked it out and are still together, even though when they broke up, he got somebody pregnant. So you never know. It might happen, but the fact that his representatives come out like, she's not a stripper or from New York. She's a 25-year-old with a master's degree in social work from Chicago. I'm like, yeah, y'all are not good at public relations. It's like, it's kind of stupid to come out and say that. It's like, nah, that was not the lick. And just work on other parts of your job, like not addressing it. Y'all all sound unintelligent. I mean, I'm just saying. But speaking of pregnancies, you know, I was like, oh, that was a story until I saw a story that told me that the white man is back. You know, the white man is back. Not that the white man ever left, but the white man is back, back. How do you know? There is a man, an 87-year-old former postman, who has been proven to have fathered over 1,300 illegitimate children. The investigation was done by a private investigator who was hired by a Tennessee family who discovered it. And their DNA, there's thousands of DNA samples and testimonies over a 15-year period which proved that this man is the father to literally thousands of illegitimate children in the region. He goes on to say that, hey, contraception wasn't very popular in those days, and I have nothing to be ashamed of. The 60s were the good old days, and I did a great Johnny Cash impression, which played out real good with the ladies. Some even thought I was Johnny Cash for real. I don't know if they really believed it or if they were trying to convince themselves, but who was I to say no to a quickie? Yeah. 1,300 children. Sid Roy, the private investigator, said he spent 15 years of his own personal time looking into this. And the research shows that there could be many more children, he says. Yeah. Now, that is a lot. When you start thinking about 1,300 kids, he was rolling. I mean, you know, when they talk about the postman, milkman, you know, back in the day, the postman doing his special deliveries, and you know, it was always the joke, you know, say, oh, yeah, the mailman come over, and he's there for a while. I mean, he literally was there for a while. It's like 1,300 kids. I mean, he was getting around. He was dedicated on his routes. Now, you know, I remember there was a, and there have been a few instances where they talk about white people's population declining because they're, you know, for every 1.2 deaths, there was only like one birth. So, you know, it's been an uproar. I'm like, shit, y'all just need to get dudes like Homie. And I mean, I would be looking at his kids like, hey, especially if you got any male sons, I mean, you know, you say they don't fall too far from the tree. I mean, if he can bust out 1,300 kids, maybe his kids could. I mean, if you say you like half the man your father was, that's about 650. I'm just saying, it's like, you never know. I mean, like one of my favorite movies, Spike Lee's She Hate Me, where dude had 19 kids because they were paying him, you know, for his seed. This dude was giving his out for free. Just as a thought, you know, if there's anybody who's interested in preserving the Caucasian race, you know, purity wise, as y'all said, this mailman, he held the key. Maybe you just need somebody delivering the mail to all the suburbs, you know, throughout the suburbs. Maybe that'll be it. Just a thought. Because, I mean, he was doing his sperm donations the good old-fashioned way. Ooh, man. Yeah. That's extra special. And speaking of good old-fashioned sperm, Bill O'Reilly, he's out at Fox News. Like, didn't think that would happen, but I guess it caught up to him. But the thing is, him being out is not necessarily bad. The dude is going to get about $25 million to be out for sexually assaulting somebody. I'm like, man, I'm in the wrong job. So you telling me I can fondle women, proposition them, get them to do my bidding, you know, in a harassing type of way, and get paid $25 million when they fire me? Woo! Like I said, I'm in the wrong job. I am in the wrong job. Bill O'Reilly, $25 million for getting fired. Sexual harassment. Shit, you know Bill Cosby sit up there like, yo, nobody paid me $25 million drug people and slip my Mickey in them. What do you call it? Because you know they say slip a Mickey. It's like you drug them and slip a Mickey in them. Anyway, so yeah, Bill O'Reilly. I can't say I'm going to miss him. Not that I ever really watched him. But, yeah. It's a wrap. No more Bill O'Reilly. So, I don't know. Haters going to hate. But when one of the haters goes away, what do you do? That note, in lieu of the fact that it is 420, I'm going to go ahead on and ride out with my homie, Kali. This is Kali and Riding.
Trees, drop a dime in my pocket, I'm hollering at a squeeze. My eyes redder than the red of the sea. Fuck the bomb, blaze blunts, man, we North IG. West Coast into the garden block. Back of Villa at the garden spot. Hiding my stash under these garden pots. I'm in the drive through, swooping on the lunches. It's a wonderful thing in the summer to have the munchies. Clear the tobacco, we'll blow it in for your pipes. We disclose when we finish. Toss it over the sock, pop the purple down the stocking. Got me a baggy rocking at the venue and it's popping till the cops come knocking. Holly, Emotionopolis, pounded up off the Durban, low down, sipping the Heineken, high as hell while we cursing. Driving through the city, just fucking on that green light. 300 down, I copy your whole different life. Mr. Red Eyes, riding under the city lights. Middle finger to the 50, like living the gritty life. Just coasting, moving in slow motion. Serve the homie off and ask for the homie smoking. Saturday night, hella high on the curb, lighting where you wave goodbye to the birds. I used to cruise to the hills, cop a quarter from the homie. Nowadays, if I'm a blaze, my folks run a clinic. Slowing only the vomit, the medical aid in a gold state. Low ride on an autopilot, chopping sticky on a plate. Cruising the late night, stuff rattling the trunk. Red eyes to the same light, fingers rattling the blunt. With a sack tucked in a glove, in fact, throw up a dub. Freestyle for the hot box, pass the mic, 4-5, smoking it up. Moving units on a Greyhound bus, cop sort of the operation, they ain't fucking with us. Holla at me for the lazy guys, chilling with the kicky eyes. Faded out my mind, squawking a dub. Pulled up, park in the club, and the aroma from the herb. Got everybody at the party, try to meet us at the curb. The next stop is the lab, record a track, then I stab. You catch me puffing on a 3-foot bag. While we driving through the city, just puffing on down the green light. 300 down, I copy the whole different light. Mr. Red Eyes riding under the city lights. Middle finger to the 50, like living the city life. Just post and move it in slow motion. Turn the homie off and ask where the homie's smoking. Saturday night, hella high on the curb, like a way away, goodbye to the bird. Blowing up purple to the sunset, smashing down the 99 South with the bitch of Henny shooting O's out of my mouth. Recollecting on where I've been and where I'm trying to go. With a mat pan, smacking the iron out of a hole. Where to be that? You eagerly are waiting by your box while you're smoking nerves. This is similar to spoken word, but my diction be causing friction among the masses. I'm living because I ride, you living because of passes. For that, I'm in the river, sick in the mood. Rather be chilling with Reese's than the chicken with food. Rather be stopping the clock, it's the Melrose ass. White tees, dickies, and nice toes, Nickies, and bikes. Sipping out to different cities, you tally your nut cans. Sending the same text to all of my blood cans. We're slogan in your vicinity, hoes all pause. It's the gritty, it's representing the rebel with the cause. And now I'm in the city, just fucking on down the green light. 300 down, I copy your whole different life. Mr. Red Eyes riding under the city lights. Middle finger to the 50, like living the gritty life. Just post and move it in slow motion. Turn the homie off and ask where the homie's smoking. Saturday night, hella high on the curb. Lie your way, you wave goodbye to the birds.
I won't lie, I'm straight high.
On the highway, switching road lanes.
Chilling on the street, smoking all the green, smoking all the green.
I'm straight high.
Smoking all the green.
Together you got the smooth drummer, smooth.
welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N Word. That was the homie, Kali. Riding. 420 in the building, 347-826-7435. Even though I don't smoke it, I respect it. 347-826-7435 is the call in number. Oh, well, and I got to hit up. Hey, what about Serena and her fiance? They're pregnant. So I will give a shout out to Serena Williams. Yes, she is pregnant. And she did a provocative, I guess, if you want, it ain't necessarily provocative, but it was a revealing picture of herself in the bathing suit, you know, I'm pregnant. It's like, Serena Williams is just not, like, real human. It's like she's, like, 30-some years old. Looking like she's still like 19, 20. You know, you say black don't crack, but I mean she is like smooth as pudding, chocolate pudding. Your favorite, whatever your favorite it is, that's Serena Williams. Congratulations on her pregnancy. So you know, hope it's healthy and everything goes well. Thinking of things that go well and things that don't go well, you know, it's actually my favorite time of the show. What is that? This is where we talk about the dumbass and the hater of the week, which actually was a real easy call, but I got to get into the semantics first. All right. Always got to get that last one in. That last one is the most important one. Anyway, the dumbasses of the week. Woo! Cassandra Borge George and her boyfriend Johnny Hero Ryder. These dudes, they stayed in the house smoking pot and partying with friends while Cassandra's grandparents were dead upstairs. What happened? They killed the grandparents and lived in the house for days partying. My grandma and grandpa are dead upstairs. Apparently, what happened was Johnny began to attack the grandfather. Then Cassie then said that she basically had a surge of energy. She then dragged her grandmother into her grandfather's bedroom. And she was duct taped. And they said they planned to kill several other people, including Ryder's family and George's mother, but that Ryder backed out of the plan. Yeah, Ryder's sister escaped, and that led to the teens captured more than a week after the grandparents' murders. Like, who does that? I mean, they do it, obviously, but kill your grandparents. Seen partying. I'm like the friends. I guess they caulked the doors inside the home to attempt to keep the smell of the bodies inside. They used a tire iron, hammer, baseball bat, and butcher knives to kill the grandparents. That is extra special and double dumb and evil and mean and hateful. I mean, they could have been a double decker. You know, double decker is when you got there the dumbass of the week and the hater of the week. But you know, they kind of got trumped this week. Not a pun, because Donald Trump is not the hater of the week, even though he probably could be, but that's a whole nother story that I ain't even touching. Hater of the week is Russian boxer Sergey Kovalev. He has a rematch with Andre Ward for the title. And so what Kovalev does is he sends, he does a racist caricature in one of them fake text messages exchanges where he says, "Oh my God, N-word, get off my dick and hold this L, faggot, crybaby." And then he sent back, "What's up, Sergey?" And I guess it was in a tweet. And it was a video which was posted last week on YouTube. And I guess apparently there's a link where you can go find it and listen to it. But I'm like, yeah, I don't need to hear that. And I'm hoping that when Andre Ward rematches him on June 17th, he beats the doo-doo dog shit out of Sergey Kovalev and, knocks him out and bends over and farts in his face when he's done. I mean, just some nasty, just doo-doo nasty stuff. Pee on him something. I don't know. I'm just saying. Well, he might like that because some people like that whole golden shower thing. But I'm just saying, just to do that. And I know he's doing it because, you know, nowadays black people are a tad bit more accepting of the N-word and saying it and being all happy and loosey-goosey with it, but I, no. So, I mean, before, and it's the thing, I actually liked the guy. I thought Sergey, he was a colorful character, but apparently this is what he's about. So, you know, automatically my blackness kicks in and I got to shift and I can't be riding with this dude no more. Because I guess I'm one of those N-words, too. So, more power to Andre Ward. Please give it to this cat. Please knock him out. And when you do knock him out, just be very disrespectful. Don't be humble. I'm tired of being humble in victory. No. Some dudes need to be talked bad about. He would be one of them. So, all my energy is going towards that now. And speaking of energy going towards something, Aaron Hernandez did one of the craziest stories ever. Aaron Hernandez, football player, former All-Pro tight end, New England Patriot. Most of you know that He was the guy that went to jail for the murders, had dumb enough to have the tattoos on him that of the victims allegedly and all that. Apparently, they said that after winning his case last week and moving toward his freedom, he decided, you know what? I'm going to kill myself. That's the official story. They said that he hung himself. He jammed the door and he hung himself in the room. Now, once again, we start off with the premise that he didn't kill himself when he first went in and was convicted. He waits until, what, I'm found innocent of another case, got off, and they were talking about, hell, he has an appeal coming up, and he's going to get off for that too. He had an appeal coming up, but apparently an appeal that he asked for was not enough, and a victory that he just got last week was not enough. And he just decided right where there was hope, hey, it's time to kill myself. Now, most folks with a brain knows, hell no. Nobody kills themselves when they're about to get off. Nobody. But apparently they want us to believe that. I mean, most folks with a brain know that Aaron Hernandez did not kill himself. They'll say he killed himself, but we know he was murdered. Who he was murdered by, we don't know. We'll never know. That dude who probably killed him is probably dead now. Well, dude, whatever. Point is, just another sack of lies that is told to people. I mean, I don't know if y'all noticed, but it's like, lies are the truth, and truth is lies. It's like everything, you know, like I've been joking lately, like, if you see it on video and it happened, that means it didn't happen. It's like we're in that Superman Bizarro world where everything that is true is false, and everything that is false is true. That's how we live it. And this Aaron Hernandez, right when he has hope, right when he has victory and he has momentum, he decides, nah, you know what? That's it. At least that's what they're telling us, that he killed himself. Then, to add insult to injury, his family wanted to donate his brain to science. Apparently, the family had arranged for Boston University's researchers who are looking at brain trauma in athletes to take possession of his brain after the autopsy. Apparently, they didn't want to. Massachusetts officials didn't want it to happen. It's like, nope. We're not going to let it. Now, they're refusing to release it despite turning the rest of his body to a funeral home. Now, I'm the type of guy who can believe in stuff happening that's different. I can believe in things like, hey, maybe brains are like hard drives. You plug them in the right way, and boom, you can get information. I mean, I've always thought that. Now, this, they said that they're turning it over to Boston University researchers because he's a football player, and they're looking at brain trauma in football players, which is a very serious deal, right? I mean, most people have seen that movie Concussion, how the NFL wanted to cover up how all these hits affect athletes and concussions in general. We know that people who have concussions, they memory loss, they experience all kinds of mental problems. So it's not really a reach to say it means legitimate research. And were some of these hits enough to alter his character just enough to make him do something foolish? I mean, it's an argument both ways, because then you can say, well, maybe the hits made it where he looks at things differently. Like, oh, I've got hope. I won't kill myself. I mean, that's the speculation. That's the conjecture that you can have, right? I mean, you kind of can have that argument, and it would be a valid argument. Like, hey, he took a lot of hits. it may have drove him mad. It may have made him first impulses. Because you know a lot of us, we have those thoughts. You know, you work, you may have a coworker or two who gets on your nerves, or somebody, and you say that I could just kill you, I could knock you out. But then common sense says, nah, don't do that. That is not a good idea, right? But in cases like that, maybe your brain, but we say your brain is diminished, and so maybe your emotional inhibitors are diminished also. So things that may be on your mind can manifest itself in such a way that it allows for illogical thought and illogical actions to accompany said illogical thought. Maybe. I don't believe none of that shit though. I believe in it, but I don't. In this particular instance, I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever you say. It makes no sense at all. At all. But I've been wrong before, and I'm sure I'll be wrong again. I do know one thing. Speaking of football, I guess Vegas is the place. Not only Vegas get the Raiders, you know, it's looking like maybe one day Vegas might even get a professional basketball team. A lot of people move to Vegas, aside from the people who love visiting. Vegas is installing some new machines, three vending machines, actually. They're not, you can't gamble. I mean, technically, you can gamble with these machines, but they're installing three vending machines to dispense free unused needles to users. The machines, which will come online in May, are funded through a pilot program that could eventually expand. Backers hope that by using machines instead of requiring addicts to interact with a human being, as is typical of other needle exchanges around the country, they will reach users who might shy away from having to discuss their addiction in order to get a clean spike. Now, they go on to say, of all the consensus-driven policies aimed at reducing the cruel failures of America's war on drugs, none has as much public support from public health and economics researchers as needle exchanges. To which I say, fuck you. All this goddamn humanity irking my nerve to the highest level of, as the late Robin Harris would say, the highest level of irkstivity. Everybody's like, the cruel failures of America's war on drugs, needle exchange, in the suburbs, in Las Vegas. Man, get the, man, whoo. Let me breathe a little bit. But, no, this is the compassion that we're having when it is the Caucasian population, which is irksome within itself. Because we're saying, oh, we care about people on drugs when they look like us. You know, I've talked about this opioid, what they call it, not the crisis, the opioid crisis that we're having. It's a crisis. It's a crisis. It's failed war on drugs. It's a crisis. I mean, these illegal drugs. Legal as fuck. They're just legal. They're addicted to them. And now, it's a crisis, and America doesn't know what to do, how we're going to do it, but we got to work hard. We have to have compassion for these people. Because they're white. That's what it is. Because when they were black in the 80s, in the 90s, it was just 25 years. You want that narcotic, 25 years. You possess that narcotic, 25 years. Not that you were selling it, you using it. They was putting your ass behind bars. Now, you go to the vending machine right next to to the Snicker. You can get you a Snicker and you get you a free needle. I don't even know what to say on that. And there ain't nothing to say. I'm just going on break. This is Master Ace. People in my hood.
Welcome to the Together Radio. Although I wish it could, the sickness of shit is real. Come and get a feel of the raw deal. See that nigga running with the field? Well, his name is KK, and back in the day, he was a star running back. Plus, he ran track. He could have been the next Walter Payton, but waiting, watch him go and stick that lady up and start skating. Maybe that sister with the weed down the back, that's Priscilla. She be drinking Miller by the back. Her brother's name is June Bug. He fought a slug in his mind right here. Now he rolls a wheelchair. And there's Mrs. Robinson. I and you, that's my man Mom. She makes slam beef too. And then goes Joe Slim, who wears a green brim and drives a green Cadillac with the spare on the back. And that there's Zach, who's a crack maniac, who put a gun to your head just to get his habit set. And then there's Betty Bay, who come out every day in house shoes and rollers, pushing the babies in the stroller. Then goes Petey, who be all in the book. A's in every class, never had a piece of ass. Then we got the twins who rob the same Benz, got the same 10s, 20s in their pocket and the skins. You sweating them, cause they know they got the double mix. And not the kind you chew, but I think you kinda knew. That's Peter Parker, much darker than the sis. That's because the mom's is a fucking snake kid. Nobody in the family talk except she and the UPS man with the long delivery. Yes, she's the neighborhood Cinderella. And when the fella be walking, you can tell her. Whole lot of sugars in the store, feed the store, feed the hitting off. He heads fresh home from up north, G. That's Mr. Johnson, and that's Mr. Thompson. Both of them are married, but not to each other. Watch how they smother each other with kisses, hugs, feels, squeezes. Oh my sweet Jesus. These are the people from the Get Ready Go. In other words, the ghetto, free mama netto. Much worse than it looks, and so is my hood. When the folks is up to no good. These are the people in my neighborhood.
Thank you. 10 million years. Whole bunch of caskets, 4 million years. Poured on the ground for the individuals that didn't make it. I don't think that I could take it. And nowadays, folks be living like the dreads on Medusa. It's kind of hard to get used to.
These are the people in my neighborhood. These are the people in my hood. These are the people in my neighborhood. Most of them are often no good.
Together you got Smooth Drummer.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drummer with your host, Mr. F the N Word. That was Master Ace, People in My Neighborhood. Speaking of people in my neighborhood, you can give me a call, 347-826-7435. Once again, you can give me a call, 347-826-7435. If you call me, I'll answer. Unless you're that dude from the backwoods. I'm not going to say his name, Bubba, but he called. I'm just going to talk about him in the alley sucking dick. It's just because I don't like you, Bubba, because you keep calling my show. That's it. I don't hold a grudge. I just do. And speaking of holding a grudge, man, Groundhog Day. Where would I be without Groundhog Day? Well, we talk about those things that happen that for some strange reason, over and over again, my favorite Bill Murray movie, I bring it up all the time. It's always something that just happens that on a daily basis, is just, it keeps coming. It keeps coming out like throw up. After an alcohol party, a big alcohol party, like, is there such a thing as an alcohol party? Probably not. I don't know. Anyway, Jay Farrell, longtime Saturday Night Live player. Jay Farrell, he was fired along with a few other cast members, Taron Killam and John Rudisky. None of them didn't get a reason why their contracts weren't renewed. So people would wonder what happened to them, because I was like, man. What happened? He was cool. Everybody was feeling him. Then he came out and said, "What happened?" He said, "Yeah, I butted heads with Saturday Night Live brass when he refused to." And you may have heard this before. Wore a dress. And was outspoken about the lack of diversity in the cast. So, yeah. Now, you may be wondering, how is that Groundhog Day? You asked Mr. F the N-word. Y'all remember Dave Chappelle when he talked about that? When we had his movie with Martin Lawrence. And he chronicled it in his comedy show. Like, yeah, they wanted me to wear the dress. I was like, I'm not wearing the dress. I don't feel comfortable wearing the dress. I don't think it's funny. It's hilarious. Dude. Nope, not going to wear it. And so, eventually, after fighting for like 5 minutes, 5, 10, 15 minutes, they rewrite it. He doesn't have a dress. Jay Farrell is asked to wear a dress. Like, nah, I'm not wearing a dress. Why are all black actors asked to wear a dress? Now, one could say it's a conspiracy. One could say that. Maybe it is, maybe it is. But it just seems weird that every black actor, comedian, is asked to wear a dress. Like, is it funny? I guess Madea is funny to some people. I really get it at this point. It's like there aren't any black women actresses who could be funny wearing that dress. I guess it takes him to actually wear that dress for it to be funny. Like, there wouldn't be a black actress who could pull off Madea and be real funny. Not that there are any black female actresses who are funny comedians. Just I guess there are none. And so we need dude to do it for us. But yeah, Groundhog Day. Black man, wear the dress. Don't want to wear the dress? You want to talk about diversity? We're going to fire you. Not that you're funny. Oh, yeah, you're funny. All that. I mean, hell, Dave Chappelle is just now getting back in the public eye. And he was, what, only the number one DVD sold ever? Probably the most popular comedy show ever on TV. Still to this day, people talk about it. Dave Chappelle can't get a job because he won't wear a dress. It's just a dress, right? I don't know. Maybe he can be that scorned love interest that Tyler Perry always has in his movies. Those no good black dudes that he has. Maybe he can play that guy. Don't have to wear a dress in that either. And did I talk about speaking of Groundhog Day, I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about the brother who spent 23 years in prison for a murder that he did not commit. The Ohio Innocence Project had represented Carl King, and apparently he had been in jail and gone through several appeals, and after the advancing in DNA testing called into question the theory of the crime presented at the trial, he was set off, freed. Not 23 days later, not 23 minutes later, not 23 months later, 23 years. That's a long-ass time. 23 years for something that you, I mean, a lot of folks is like, yeah, there's money. And I misspoke. It's not Carl King, it's Evan King. He's 59 years old. So he lost a lot of good years there. 23 years. He was 36 when he went in. So all the last bit of his good prime, kind of lost that. Yeah. And, you know, they came out and said, it's important justice be served, and King is able to be reunited with his family. But it's like, what do you do after you've been in jail for 20-some years? I mean, when you get out, it's like, yeah, I'm hating the world. I'm the biggest hater, and I think I may have done like 23 hours. No, as long as 23 hours of my life, like, shit. You can do this. 23 years? Mm-mm. No way, partner. But speaking of things that I couldn't do, there's the first African American woman to serve on New York's top court, Judge Sheila Abdul Salam. They said that she committed suicide. But, and while they say there are no signs of foul play, the case is being treated as suspicious. And her husband is like, nah, she ain't committed no suicide. And I quote the brother when he says, these reports have frequently included unsubstantiated comments concerning my wife's possible mental and emotional state of mind at the time of her death. Those of us who love Sheila and knew her well do not believe that these unfounded conclusions have any basis in reality. You know, you know, because they were talking about her mother, and her brother had committed suicide. Her mother, who died at the age of 92 in 2012, did not take her own life. And her brother, her younger brother, who died in 2014, had terminal lung cancer. He didn't kill himself. Now, Abdus Salam was found last week, April 12th, floating in the river near Upper Manhattan, wearing sweats and sneakers, a day after her husband reported her missing. Now, is it because she's a Muslim black judge that she was killed? I mean, if they know the real story, they probably don't want that to come out for obvious reasons, you know, because it may cause a, one, religious riot, because, you know, you'll have all the Muslims. But then you start talking about it could cause a race riot because she is black also. And to say a standing federal judge with no apparent signs of trauma or criminal activity, not like they say, oh, well, you know, she had the doctor prescribing her drugs, whatever. No, none of that is a factor here. It just, boom. She just decides to go missing and kills herself. That's the story. No. Not what happened. And it's funny that they put this story out there like that. I mean, because I'm always going to take what the authorities say with salt, with a grain of salt. Well, not even a grain of salt. I'm talking a whole salt mine. Actually, when you talk about the official story that they tell, especially when it comes to black folks. And I always say this, you know, any Caucasian people listening. If you want to know how black folks feel every day, it's like how you felt when OJ got off. Yeah, when OJ got off, white people were in their arms crying, didn't know how to act. They just shook. But for us, that's every day. I mean, we're used to the justice system not working for us. So when y'all take that one L out of the 2,898,000 L we've taken, not that big of a deal. But hey, I guess this is another L that we have to take. A standing federal judge is dead, and they just said suicide. We know there's foul play involved, but, and they even say it, there's suspicion, but we don't react on it. Just business as usual. And on that note, I am Mr. F the N-Word, and this was another Smooth Darn production. Thank you for listening, and I'll holla. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Together you guys
smooth.